Hello, hello, hello. Great day, everyone. So today's conversation is going to be a really, really good one. As I was thinking about this, I thought about when we're young, we encourage our children to dream bold and to dream big. And then life happens and we shift to the practical and we talk about what needs to be, paying the bills and all of that. But what happens to our dreams? So today on the show, I want to connect the dots between dreams, life, leadership, and space. What? What's space got to do with it? Well, we're going to find out as we prepare to lead above the grind. Let's get started. Great day to you. Super excited to be here. Hey, Miss Braj Jones, I see you out there. So we're super excited that you all are here and really, really happy to be here with you today. So I am excited to welcome you to episode 94 of the Coffee with Rhonda show. So we are your cup full of inspiration, revelation, and wit for today's savvy leader. And today we are going to have a little bit of fun and connect some dots that you don't normally connect in your life. Before we get started, a few housekeeping items. If you have not visited and subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do so. You can visit coffeewithrhondashow.com. And right now, stop, pause, like, share the video. I promise you there will be something in today's conversation that someone else wants to hear. So take that moment and pause and like the video and share it with your network. And as we drop our golden nuggets, then your network will thank you for it later. So with all that being said, my name is Rhonda Y. Williams, and I'm your host for the show. I am what I like to call an RSOL, or a recovering stressed out leader. Today, I believe that it is imperative that we modernize leadership to improve well-being and ongoing professional and personal development. You can learn more about the work we do in the world at atgleadership.com. Today, I have my cup. And my cup is one of my favorite cups that says, despite the look on my face, you are still talking. And I know, Roz, right? So just really have coffee in my cup today with a dash of cinnamon and a little bit of hazelnut cream. So that's me. And I'm at home today, which is just lovely. It's lovely to be home and not worried about all the other tech stuff. So with that being said, let's introduce our co-host, Marae. How are you? Good evening to you.
Hello, good morning to you. This is Marae, all the way from Perth, Australia. So for me, it's nighttime, and I'm actually very happy today to have Shelley as well and, you know, learn from her. My name is Marae. You know me by the Greatness Engineer, and I am actually all about greatness and particularly making sure that women step into their greatness. And I'm really helping them to be visible, especially in non-traditional industry. So that's me. And today I have something special. I have, green tea with lemon and also a little bit of something that I'm not going to say. So just to keep me awake.
All right. Well, we will use our imaginations, Marae, to figure out what that little extra something is that you have in your cup. Look at Roz. Hey, Ms. Roz, while you're over here, say hello to the people.
Hey, you guys, I want to know what Sister Soldier got in her cup. That's what I want to know.
Offline.
Okay. But anyway, real quick, I'm Ross Jones, the CEO and owner of Jacksonville's Best Caregivers, where we help expand the life of your loved one. Why do I do it? Because I love my job. And I love to help the caregiver to reduce that SOS on their journey, which is being stressed, overwhelmed, and providing safety and security. When you can't do it all, give us a call. I don't have all that libation like Mariah has. However, I do have a cup of love sitting out here on the table.
A cup of love. Gotta love it. All right, Roz. Well, we'll just continue to imagine what Marae has in her cup. And in the meantime, we will move to introducing our wonderful guest today. So today we have joining us our special guest, Shelly Brunswick. Shelly is the COO of Space Foundation, advocating for space technology, innovation, entrepreneurship, diversity, and inclusion. Shelly collaborates with organizations around the world to connect commercial, government, and educational sectors. Really excited to have you with us, Shelly. Say good morning to everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Tell us a little bit more about the work that you're doing, and then tell us what you have in your cup.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to join you this morning. For me, I'm in Colorado Springs, but obviously we're global with Australia and who knows who else is watching. So good morning, good evening, good afternoon. And as you said, I'm Shelly Brunswick, the Chief Operating Officer at Space Foundation. And I've had an interesting journey. You know, my first 29 plus years of work graduating high school was working in the U.S. Air Force. I enlisted right out of high school, went to school at night while I was stationed overseas, eventually completed my college education, applied to become an officer, and I became a space acquisition program manager. And you're probably like, what is that? I said the same thing, but that becoming an officer and becoming a space acquisition program manager started my 25-year career in the space industry, and that's why I get to join you today. I did retire from the military, and now I'm working at Space Foundation as the Chief Operating Officer, and we're a U.S. nonprofit that does business internationally with world-class events. We just completed one, our annual Space Symposium. We completed our 38th here in Colorado Springs, where we bring together the world space community, and that's military, commercial, civil, and international. And we also do education programs. We're a nonprofit for education. So we do the whole workforce pipeline, kindergarten through 12th grade, teacher training, as well as adult non-accredited education. So Space Foundation's an awesome place to work. I love what I do. And similar to you, I'm passionate about helping to create access and opportunity in the global space ecosystem, break down barriers. And one of the things your show talks about is leadership. And I believe from my time being in the military, as well as trying to create more access and opportunity, the foundation of that is leadership. Mm-hmm. And in my cup today, I will show you my cup, but I have one of my favorite teas, which is chocolate. Who knew? Chocolate tea. So I knew you'd all want to see the box, because
yes,
you have a chocolate drink with no calories, of course, unless you add some sweetener. So, do me chocolate.
That's awesome, Shelly. So I love when our guests come on with different drinks, because I didn't even know chocolate tea was a thing. So, well, there. Now I know. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. So we got a couple of folks out there. Hi, Dave. Dave's Fit Life. Thanks so much for tuning in. He says, nice introduction. Thank you, Dave. I'm always dancing to it in the background. Feel free to rock along too. And then Regina's out there says, hey, good morning. Living in San Antonio. She's got coffee in her cup, and it's a pleasure to be here. Maria, so great to see you. Maria is in from the Netherlands. Hey, Maria, it's great to see you. And she says, it's been a minute. Yes, it has. And Favor is dialing in from Nigeria. Hey, Favor, good to see you out there. Welcome to the show. And you all, don't be too quiet. Don't forget to interact, ask questions, and share your thoughts during the live stream. And then Mom is out there as well. Hello, Mother. Great to see you. Looking forward to another great show today. I have organic apple juice with fresh kiwis. That's what she's got in her cups. Delicious. Mom's cup is always overflowing with deliciousness. So thanks, everybody, for being here and tuning in. We're going to get started with our conversation. And Shelly, I want to start with your opening quote. And then I would love for you to talk to us a little bit more about why this quote and really what that means to you. And we'll use that as the foundation for getting our conversation started. So let me put your opening quote on the screen. And after this finished playing, then we'll come back in and get your thoughts on it. For those of you listening later on audio version, it says, every great dream begins with a dreamer. You have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. And that's a quote by Harriet Tubman. So, Shelley, tell us a little bit about this quote and really what it means to you.
Well, the whole genesis of finding this quote and connecting with it is I was invited to be the commencement speaker in 2022 at Colorado State University Pueblo. And this is a diversity school. They're what they call in the U.S. an HSI, so they're a Hispanic primarily university. And this is where I actually graduated and got my undergraduate degree as well. So it was a real honor to go back to my alma mater to be the commencement speaker. Whoever thinks that when you're sitting on the other side just waiting to get that piece of paper, that someday you'll be back giving that commencement address. So I really wanted to find a way to connect with the audience and really think about what would be important to them. You know, I talked to the president of the university, Dr. Timothy Mote, and he says, you know, keep it real. You know, these kids, you know, they're going to be there with their families. They really want to know lessons learned. What were some troubles you had? You know, really connect with them. And so when I found Harriet Tubman's quote, it just really connected with me because let's think back, you know, this is before the Civil War. She was a conductor on the Underground Railroad, helping enslaved people to freedom. And then during the Civil War, she was a nurse and a spy and a scout. And then after the Civil War, she became a leader for women's suffrage. And so I saw her journey similar to mine and others. You know, we have different chapters in our life. And so sometimes our chapters are going to change and that's okay. And the other great part I loved about it was, you know, every great dream begins with the dreamer. That's how this quote starts. We can all have dreams. We can all have passions. And, you know, every great dream begins with the dreamer because you have within you the strength, the patience and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. And I'm every day trying to encourage people to reach for the stars because space technology and innovation can change the world that we live in. And so it just really connected with me on a number of levels, both the motivational side, the adversity side, the changing chapters. And then to me, it connected with me in a space world. So that's why I kind of shared that quote with you as well, because I just think it's so powerful.
Yeah, so I think it's powerful also. And I also think it's sort of for all of the reasons that you mentioned, encouraging dreams in adults. And Marae, I'm going to come to you on this because I feel like sometimes as life begins to move forward, we don't do as much of that, right? So, Marae, how does that quote speak to you? And how do you see dreaming show up in you particularly as the greatness engineer?
Yeah, I mean, I always, and you know it, and that's where, you know, the greatness engineer, name came in, and also the greatness engineering philosophy that I'm always talking about. It's about dreaming. It's about understanding that wherever we are, we always have something inside of us that is great, and we can really step into it to really attain our, you know, greatness, but also, you know, dream and really have those dreams realized, because sometimes what's happening, we get caught up into the reality, we limit ourselves, and we put boundaries where we, you know, sometimes there are no boundaries. So it's important to go and, you know, and tell people all the time, remind them, and also, you know, set ourselves as role models. You know, sharing our stories from, you know, humble beginnings to where we are right now so that they can really believe that they can do it as well. And that there's actually no limit to what they can accomplish. And I think that's what it's all about, really people understanding that this world is unlimited, you know, and sometimes we just want to limit it at all costs. And yet we have all this, you know, at our disposal, and we don't want to go for it. And sometimes it's just also fear. It can be the environment. It's all kind of thing, but it's really important to keep telling them that there's something else for them out there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Shelley's story really aligns with this. So Shelley, I was listening to, as I was preparing for this show, listening to your journey into space. First of all, when most of us think about space, right, we think about what, an astronaut or you know, the trips, the launches to the moon, right? That's what we think about when we think about space. I'm going to go to Facebook. Someone has a question and then I'll come back to that. Encouraging dreaming. I have a question. I want to know if it's not too late for a 45-year-old woman to go back to school to study nursing. Wow. So yeah. Add my two cents, excuse me, as a nurse. And then Shelley, I definitely want you to come in and I want you to start talking a little bit about your journey as well. So first of all, it's never too late to do anything. It doesn't matter if you're 85. So I need you to, it says Facebook user. So please type your name in because apparently StreamYard hasn't authenticated your profile. So it only shows Facebook user. So type your name in so we know who we're speaking to. But your life is yours to decide. Your destiny is yours to create. So it doesn't matter if you started 20 years ago, if you start now, or if you start when you're 85. That's why you see those very inspiring stories about people going back and pursuing their dreams, graduating college at 75 and up. So the question is, okay, I see. This is from Faber. Great. Thank you, Faber. Mm-hmm. So Faber, the answer from my perspective as a nurse and just as a entrepreneur and a coach in general is no. You simply need to decide what you want to do and then just set about the course to do it. Don't let anything stand in your way. If that's what you want to do, then go ahead and begin pursuing those dreams. Because at 45, I would say, being a person that's not 45 anymore, you are still young and you've got your whole life ahead of you, right? So Shelley, let me bring you in and get you to respond to the question from our viewer. And then also tell us a little bit about your journey, because I think it's inspiring.
Well, first, let me address the question, and that's about, is it ever too late? Absolutely not. So especially in the space industry, you talk about nursing, and that's definitely a career field we need. But in the space industry, we need all people to think about space careers, and it's more than astronauts and rocket scientists. There's opportunities for high school graduates to PhDs and everything in between. We need program managers and policymakers and space lawyers and teachers and astronauts and media and social media posts. And so there's now a diversity of careers for everyone. And yes, it'd be great. You know, we want to raise the next generation. You know, Space Foundation, we're passionate about our kindergarten through 12th grade programs. We also focus on adult non-accredited education, because you know what else? We need people in the space industry today. There's not enough. There's not enough engineers, but there's also not enough other career fields. And so I meet a lot of people who are mid-career who are now saying, I always wanted to be in the space industry, but it wasn't possible 20 years ago. Can I join now? And it's like, absolutely. And I've got an interstellar guide to success. And, you know, one of those steps in that interstellar guide to success is join networks and organizations that are like-minded. So for space, there's a lot of organizations you can join. You can come to Space Foundation, Space Symposium. If you're a young professional, Space Generation Advisory Council. So you start meeting people in these groups and you start networking and you start working, and it won't happen overnight. But what will happen is it will take time. I'm going to share a story. I met a woman. She had been in the oil and gas industry. She was a high-level executive. She always wanted to be in the space industry. So she left the oil and gas industry. And initially, she started as a volunteer. So sometimes it starts with volunteering. She started volunteering for Space Foundation, doing stuff with us. And we had her doing other things. And we said, join the Colorado Space Coalition and talk to these people and do this. And it's been almost 3 years since I first met her. She is now the chief operating officer at a space startup company. So yes, you can make the transition. Sometimes you have to go back, you know, be a volunteer, an unpaid position to go forward, but you can do it. And so if you want to be a nurse, be a nurse, be a teacher, be in the space industry. So never stop yourself. There's a saying, there's two good times to plant a tree. One is 20 years ago, and the second best time is today. If you want to make a change in your life, today is just wonderful.
Love that, Shelley. I love, first of all, the energy and the passion around that. And then really just encouraging and inspiring people to go for it. And I know that for most of us, it's the practical aspects of life, right? They get us down. It's I got to pay my bills and I got to take care of the children and I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And my response to that is yes and, right? It's yes, right? If you've got children, let me put bring Roz back on the screen. If you've got children, if you've got bills, yes, you have to do all of those things because they exist. And you can still do whatever it is you want to do. So whether that's part-time, whether that's, you know, a side hustle, whether that's networking with other people, right? You can do all of that. And so I think she had to leave and come back in. You can do all of that. So Favor says, thank you, Rhonda and Shelly. I do appreciate your responses. Thank you for the question, Favor. I think it got us started on a really great note. And then Vandella says, thank you. Wonderful. Thank you so much for tuning in. And so let's talk a little bit more about that. Shelly, one of the things that I find interesting is when we are just going about our day-to-day lives, we don't think about space. Mm-hmm. Right? Who thinks about space? I think about space as this big, broad, airy-fairy thing that's up there that's really not in my day-to-day reality. Talk to me about why that's not accurate.
Well, it is correct. It's not accurate. But what I want to highlight is a lot of people think about going to the moon and Mars, and those are definitely things we're pursuing. You know, NASA's returning to the moon, going on to Mars. We've got companies that are operating in space. We've all heard of SpaceX and Blue Origin. But most times people don't hear about how that space technology and innovation comes back to Earth to benefit us. So for starters, our program today is being brought to you live streamed, which is a benefit of space technology. This would not be possible if there were not satellites and space technology. Also, I've been taking some selfies of us as we've been talking. And for all of you, pull out your cell phone, because inside your cell phone are multiple space technologies, starting with NASA imaging technology to capture that perfect picture, GPS, algorithms that make your phone work better. But you know, we have all women on the program today. We all are very aware of, you know, breast cancer and breast cancer awareness. So I'm going to talk about the Hubble Space Telescope. And you're like, okay, Hubble and breast cancer, what do those two things have in common? The Hubble Space Telescope was designed to look into space for anomalies. And a company took that technology and used it to look inside the human body for anomalies. And that's how mammogram detection was formed. So space technology has saved millions of women's lives. There's another woman, Dr. Nicole Wagner, who is now working on another disease called macular degeneration, mm-hmm. where people go blind. There is no cure right now. She is manufacturing retina replacements on the International Space Station, working with the FDA and NASA. And we hope in a few years, she'll be able to bring these to market and return people's sight. So we're a lot of space technology that people don't think about: telecommunications, healthcare, GPS. You're using it every day. Every time you go to the supermarket, your food was brought to you by space technology, because it was probably grown in another country using precision agriculture, which uses GPS to plant it, which increases crop yields. It was then harvested. It was then put on transports that were moved to the United States or Australia using GPS technology. And then it was unloaded and delivered. But the other thing is, how many of you use a credit card? Every time you use a credit card, there's a date timestamp group that comes from a GPS satellite. That is the first and original form of blockchain, because it identifies that that was a valid transaction. So without satellites, there is no ATMs. You're not going to be able to do banking with a credit card. We're all going to go back to paper money. So help from healthcare to agriculture to education to public safety. If you're in business, you're in the space business.
Oh my goodness. I love that. So, hey, Roz, are you ready to go back to paper money?
No. I love my Apple Wallet where I can just tap, tap, tap. Beautiful thing. I love it. And the reason why I love it is because it's for safety, because as I travel, I don't have to take my purse out the car. I can put my purse, I'm not going to say it in case somebody, you know, driving behind me, but I don't have to put my purse on the front seat, you know, or covered up with a towel when I get out. So when as I get ready for the day, I already, you know, hide my purse in my secret place. And then all I have with me then is you know, my cell phone, but however, my cell phone does have a lock on it so that no one can even get to the wallet, you know, so it's like a double, you know, fingerprint, eyes, you gotta look at the eyes, put the code in, you know, it's so I have those authentications, you know, to stop someone from getting in. But yeah, I love it. No paper money, honey, for me.
And all of that is about space technology. Mm-hmm. And Murray, it's surprising to me that we are using space technology for things like mammograms, mammogram awareness. Now, I didn't know that that was about space, and you probably experienced a lot of connections being in the STEM field as well, things that we don't even think about that come into our everyday existence. And so what do you think mm-hmm. about some of these, the way that space is influencing our lives and our world?
I think one of the problem, and it's happening in a lot of industries, especially where, you know, you're talking about innovation, is about educating people, because sometimes, you know, if you don't see a link to something that is related to you, you're not interested, and sometimes you think that it has no connection to you. So it is important that we start educating people about, you know, what's available and how it relates to them. And myself being in the energy sector is the same. You know, we have to educate people about how energy is affecting their life, because I hear a lot of debate, a lot of people who are, you know, saying a lot of things, but they don't realize that, you know, every day they are actually, you know, using energy, and it's linked to them at all level, from, you know, taking, you know, showering to, you know, the product that they're using, the soap is coming from, you know, petrochemical as well. And that's oil. So when you say, oh, we have to eradicate everything, you have a part to play as well, because you are using the product that are actually creating this pollution and pushing, you know, some of the polluter to actually produce what they have to produce, because you consume that. So education is really a good part, you know, that it's playing a great role. And I think for the space is the same. Like, you know, Shelley was saying, we think about, you know, going to the moon and things like that. So it's important now to tell people how, you know, it relates to their day-to-day life and how it is changing their life, so that they start to really, you know, pay attention and, you know, and show interest and get involved, because I think that's what it's all about. Get more people involved, get more people to embrace, you know, the technology and understand how it relates to them and how it's changing their day-to-day life.
That is definitely something that I agree. I want to ask Shelley about that as we get towards the mm-hmm. end of our show, about the access and getting involved more in space and technology and that sort of thing. And your point about we have to educate people, it's right in line with what Vandella says, is very educational, because who knew, right? We don't think about these mm-hmm. things. Our lives are moving so fast. One of the things I want to really connect this to is how important it is in our day-to-day life to sort of lean into the unknown. And so, Shelley, I want to ask you, you have some lessons that you've learned from being in this industry for many, many years. Can you share some of those lessons with us that you think might be important for our audience in particular to hear?
Well, I have several lessons, but we'll start with a couple. And that first one is, you know, you have to take advantage of every opportunity that comes your way. I shared with you, I enlisted in the U.S. Air Force right out of high school because I didn't have money to go to college. I really didn't know what I wanted to major in, and I wanted to see the world. And at that time, the Air Force was a great opportunity. But I was also able to take the opportunity of using tuition assistance and go to school at night and on the weekends. Now, some people would say, oh, why do you want to go to school at night or on the weekends? Well, sometimes opportunity looks like work. It looks like, you know, you have to trade some relaxation or other things for pursuing some opportunities. But by going to school at night and using tuition assistance, it allowed me to get both my bachelor's and master's degree without taking on any college debt. And that allowed me to then apply to become an officer in the Air Force. Now, it would have opened other doors as well. So sometimes you have to look at taking advantage of those opportunities, and they may look like work. Like the woman I shared with you who transitioned from the oil and gas industry into the space industry, she volunteered, you know, and so going from an executive in oil and gas to being a volunteer, you know, but it was part of the journey to get her to where she needed. Mm-hmm. And so take advantage of opportunities. And sometimes they look like work. The other one is, we talked about it a little earlier and I thought of bringing it up, but I call it never disqualify yourself from something you haven't been offered. And the example of that was when I went to retire from the Air Force, I shared with people, because I was about a year out from retiring, hey, keep me in mind. If you hear of anything, let me know. And one day somebody sent me the job description for the Space Foundation, Chief Operating Officer. And at the time, I had been a program manager and an Air Force officer, and I worked on Capitol Hill. So I was really in this tunnel vision of looking for government affairs or program management. You know, I was looking for a certain type of career. So when this job description came in for Chief Operating Officer, my initial thought was, this isn't for me. And I said it out loud in my office. I said, oh, somebody just sent me this job offer for COO of Space Foundation. I don't know if I should apply. And fortunately, my good friend Vanessa said, you should never disqualify yourself from something you haven't been offered. And think about that. How many, and I want to hear everyone else's thoughts on this. How many times do we, in our audience, do we see something that maybe doesn't fit a parameter we've made or a box we've created, and we eliminate ourselves from a potential opportunity, not because we're not good enough or we can't do that, but we have put up mental barriers and decided not to pursue something. So I'd love to hear what other people think of that.
Oh my gosh, that's really powerful. That is really powerful, Shelley. And Nadej says, thank you for sharing your experience. I think it's so important, because I think you probably just hit on something that 90% of women do.
Exactly, exactly.
Right? So Murray, I know you've seen this.
Yeah, I've been talking about it, you know, women in, especially in male dominated environment, disqualifying themselves from taking opportunity because they want to be 100% sure. They want to be 100% qualified, check all the boxes, instead of just, you know, accepting and then learning, you know, on the job, just like, you know, the main counterpart are doing. They don't know anything. They just say, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to learn, you know, through the process. So we have to stop disqualifying ourselves from, you know, any opportunity that are coming our way, and ask, you know, ask for those opportunities as well, because it's part of the growth and it's part of, you know, being a leader as well, because you know that you can actually get the right skills and do the job. So that's I'm just so, you know, happy that you touched this point.
Well, we can do a whole show at every, yeah, every show. I feel like there's one thing that comes up that we could actually do an entire show on. So Andy, hey Andy, great to see you. Andy says this happens all the time, right? Mm-hmm. This happens all the time. We disqualify ourselves. And Vandella says never disqualify yourself. Love that. Mm-hmm. And then Andy said deep insecurities is the reason. So Roz, touch on that for us, because I do believe that one of the reasons why we back away is because we've been conditioned for perfection. And if you're not getting it just right, if you're not 100% sure, you don't have 100% of the qualifications, then you know what? It's okay. Just wait your turn.
Mm-hmm. I'm a perfect example of that, because I went to college for journalism, radio, television, broadcasting, and I'm in healthcare. So when it was time to move into healthcare, I was scared, because I said, I don't know anything about claims. I don't know anything about how to fill out a form. I don't know anything about how to do the back end of the technology to put the programming in for the claims. I didn't know any of that. I was already disqualifying myself, because I said, all of my skills are in writing. I love to write. I love to write, but never in the medical field. I had, trust me, my right hand to God, I had no plan on being a caregiver. And my life was supposed to be, okay, journalism, executive producer, work for ABC. You know, I had that, you know, I had my roadmap. I did. But one, you know, it only takes your life one. It only takes one thing. And I said, my life changed between Sunday to Sunday. And that's what happened. And somebody gave me the opportunity. That was it. And someone had to sit down and talk to me because I was not going to do it. Because I said, I didn't have the training and I didn't want to hurt anybody because I wasn't trained.
And
I think that's part of it, because we don't have the information and training. It's because we don't, that's why we don't take the opportunities. But then that's where, like you said, on the job training, mentors, apprenticeships, those are the type of things that can, you know, auditing a class or whatever will help you with that. And so I've come to learn, you know, as years have gone on, is that I had the right people in place, but I didn't take the opportunity. I'm done speaking.
Thank you, Roz. That's so good. I want to get to another lesson from Shelley, because our time is just flying by. Wow. This has been a really great conversation. So I'm going to do a brief commercial for Ascension Leaders. And when we come back, Shelley, I'd like for you to share another one. That one got us going so well. I'd love to hear another one of your lessons when we come back from this brief commercial.
Leaders today are faced with an exponentially evolving, dynamic workplace, but leadership is not a solo sport. It's critical to know who's on your team and to understand cutting-edge approaches to communication and influence. We invite you to experience the profound rewards of membership in Ascension Leaders, an above-the-grind community wherein today's leaders are empowered and inspired with unprecedented support to create modern, magnetic cultures. Modern magnetic cultures, also known as MMCs, are the ideal performance and fulfillment culture prized by successful leaders and their teams. We urge you to carefully consider the edge our members gain from this extraordinary group. Choose to achieve the clarity, velocity, and momentum of a modern Ascension leader.
Yeah, an Ascension Leader is a community where leaders can come together, grow, network, support each other, learn from each other, and it's just a lot of fun. So we invite you to join Ascension Leaders by visiting ascensionleaders.com, and it's there's no cost to join. Okay, so back to your lesson, Shelley. Share with us another lesson that you've learned through your years in the industry.
So I think y'all are going to like this one. As we know, during COVID, we all kind of leaned in and we did more and we worked longer hours and we said yes a lot, right? And the Space Foundation is a nonprofit. One of our biggest revenues is our annual symposium. 2 weeks before our annual symposium, COVID happened. So we weren't able to put on a symposium for 15 months. Now, fortunately, we were able to survive that and reposition. But a lot of that was by saying yes and doing a lot of things and working deep and working long days and long hours. So there is a power in yes. But I think many times we also forget that saying yes to others may mean we're saying no to ourselves. And my husband has taken that statement and put it on the door as I walk out to my car now, because I have a tendency to say yes a lot. You know, last night I was doing a group, college students, you know, at Arizona State University and next month. And so I say yes a lot, but sometimes we have to know when to say no. And I think, I don't want to say it's just women, but I think a lot of times women were used to wanting to say yes and lean in. And we don't realize that when we say yes to other people, we could be saying no to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's really about understanding the balance of, I want to be a servant leader. And one of my favorite books is by Major General Al Flowers, the longest serving airman in the United States Air Force history. We all want to be servant leaders and we want to help others, but we also have to know when we need to take time for ourselves, when we need to say no, and make sure we're caring for ourselves. So I'd love to hear what others think about that as well.
Yeah, so let's come and get Roz and Marae to share. And if you're out there in the audience listening, please share that as well. And we also have a question. But this has been on my mind. This is on my mind frequently, Shelley, because I work with executive leaders who are stressed, overwhelmed, working too many hours, and always saying yes to other people. In fact, I think my social media post yesterday was, taking care of everyone else and not taking care of yourself is not leadership, it's martyrdom, right? It's really about, you've got to, if you're going to lead, show others, be the role model, how to care for themselves, and that's okay. So that's my two cents on it. It is something that we don't do enough. is focus on the care of ourselves, investing in ourselves, growing ourselves, going to conferences, reading books, and all the other self-care activities to be better for ourselves so we can show up better for others. So, Roz, I know that self-care is also important for you in addition to your naps, right?
Yes, I do take naps. So when my clients sleep, I sleep. You know, if you have children, you know, when the children would lay down, you would go ahead and go to sleep too. And that's important. That's part of self-care. And then also too, you know, we have to help people understand how to treat us. And that's a part of self-care. Mm-hmm. We have to show people how to treat us. And I'll give you a perfect example. I was scheduled to do a project with my church. And I gave them the deadline of April 15th, and they have not gotten back to me. So I got an email last night. Oh, you know, this and this and that and that. I said, baby, you missed the deadline. Well, what are we supposed to do? I said, you have to let somebody else lead this. Mm. You know, so I can say yes, but then also too, you know, you want me to respect you, and you have to respect me. You have to respect my time. So, you know, I told them that I said that I've gone on and blocked something off for that event now. So I am no longer available to lead on that event. Mm. So, you know, it sounds harsh, but however, you know, again, like Shelley says, we have to set boundaries. And if I didn't, then I would be worried about, oh, they hadn't gotten back to me. Let me email them. Mm-mm. I sent two emails. And when they didn't follow up, I gave it to them on my deadline. I said, I haven't heard anything from you. Please assign someone else. And I guess maybe they thought I was playing. And I have moved on. And you know what? I'm at peace about it. I'm really
at peace. That is good. That is so good, Roz, because it only feels harsh because there's nothing harsh about that, right? It only feels harsh because we're conditioned that we should say yes, right? Otherwise, it's just the reality of the situation, right? I set the deadline. You didn't respond. Okay, it's time to move on. No hard feelings. I'm not upset. You're not upset. This just isn't going to work right now. So I think a lot of times we don't want to say no because we're just going to offend somebody. So that's just a really good one. Thank you for sharing that. And
I just want to say this. A lot of times,
comment. Go ahead, Ross.
A lot of times, particularly in ministry, we don't want to say no. Particularly in ministry, we don't want to say no. But you can say no to the pastor. He'll be all right. He'll be okay. You can say no to the deacons, to the, you know, the mothers. You can say no. You're not going to go to hell. I'm done speaking.
He's still alive.
Yeah, he's not going to just disappear because you say no. So I love this comment by Vandella who says, LOL, I say yes a lot too, especially since being retired for 10 years. So now people probably think that your free time is their time. Right. Mm-hmm. Your free time is their time. So, yeah, that's a really great point. So let's do something really quickly. And then I want to get Shelley to talk to us a little bit more about her new type of leadership, because I'm really interested in hear about that. All right. So let's shift gears for a minute. I'm going to do something fun since we're talking about self-care. Let's do our top two and let's do our top two ways, our top two self-care activities. So what activities do you engage in when it's all about you? So we'll come back and get everybody's responses. And if you're out there in the audience, type in, what are your top two self-care activities? And we'll come and talk about those right after this. All right, so let's talk about our top two ways that we care for ourselves. So Roz, since you've got this look on your face, so I'm coming to you first. I know you've got a good one.
I'm going to be clean with these, okay? I'll be real clean.
I appreciate it for all the kids out there.
Yeah, for the PG out there. One of the things I like to do is walk on the beach. Early in the morning at sunrise, as the sun is just peeking over the horizon. Yeah, I don't know. It's just something about that smell, that clean. And I'm trying to think of something that's decent. And taking a nap. Let me go ahead and say that.
Alrighty. Okay. So Shelly had no idea what she was getting herself into with these crazy ladies today. Awesome. So Shelly, let's come to you next, and then we're going to go to Marad. So Shelly, what are your top two self-care activities?
Well, my first one is I love getting up in the morning, like at 5 a.m. and working out. So I get to see the sunrise as I'm working out. The house is quiet. The dog is sleeping. The husband is sleeping. And I can just kind of have peace and get myself set for the day. And I love that time to myself. Mm-hmm. The other thing I love to do is I love nature and wildlife. And so I love going out and doing photography, going on hikes, or going to the zoo and seeing the animals. We have an amazing zoo here in Colorado Springs where we have you can feed the giraffes or the elephants or the rhinos or behind the scenes. So y'all want to come to the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. I'm just going to tell you that. And so we're scheduled next month to go meet the tiger Chewy. So I can't wait. So for me, that forces me to really unplug because sometimes my mind won't stop going. But when I go immerse myself in nature or wildlife or, you know, I can get away, it forces me to stop thinking about work or the things I want to do or projects and just be in the moment. And that's the most important thing for me is to find those ways of getting away and be in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Shelly, are you face-to-face with these animals? Are you face-to-face? Yeah.
They're like, you could put that piece of lettuce in your mouth and the giraffe will get right up. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Look at that. I love that face.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll have to tell you about going on safari in Africa. It was awesome.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Murray, what are your top two self-care activities?
So my first one is really, you know, go for a good run, you know, and just, you know, in the country or, you know, along the beach, somewhere where I don't see a lot of people, just go for, you know, a long distance run and just be by myself. And the second one is just to, you know, to travel somewhere beautiful where, you know, I can also be on my own. And no family, no husband, no anybody, just, you know, drive in the country or travel in an island somewhere and be there, you know, and that's really how I kind of, you know, spend time with myself and think and come with some exciting ideas as well. So that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome, Murray. Thank you for sharing that. We've got a couple out there, but first, my favorite two, my number one has to be a long hot bubble bath with the little jets that go and you just feel like you're in a spa and it's quiet. Usually I've got candles or some type of aromatherapy and the lights are dimmed and it's like a Calgon take me away moment. So that has to be one of my top ones. My second one has to be my guilty pleasure of getting lost in sci-fi books. So sci-fi audiobooks, oh my goodness. So I'm a sci-fi movie fan anyway, but the sci-fi audiobooks are so interesting to me. And of course, there are all these different worlds and there are these different things happening. So yeah, it's just the weird thing that I do. But I absolutely love listening to my sci-fi books, especially if I'm taking a long walk. So that's what I like to do. So Andy says, working out, relaxing with an old TV show or movie. I admire their talent. So talented, those old stars. So thank you so much, Andy. Regina says, my top two things I love to do is take a long hot bath and being alone with myself, writing, thinking, creating, and always taking notes. And then Andy said he loves wildlife. I'm a big iPhone donor. So thank you so much, everybody, for contributing your thoughts on what you love to do. And so I'm going to bring it back now and ask Shelly to share with us a little bit about her. You created a new style or type of leadership. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Well, being in the military, leadership's the foundation of all our learning. And, you know, we can think about being a servant leader, and I share General Flowers' book. We can talk about Myers-Briggs, you know, situational leadership, you know, are they telling, selling, participative, delegating? But what I've really learned over my 30 years studying leadership is that the world has changed. And we no longer need to be in positions of authority given to us. We don't have to be elected officials. We don't have to be the CEO of a company. Now we can be leaders on social media. 12-year-old girls can start movements for climate change and awareness, right? Not in a position of power. A 12-year-old girl can do that. So my new form of leadership is called, I call it Global Transformational Leadership, or GTL. And it has three main traits. It's inspirational, it's authentic, and it's about having gratitude. And what I mean by inspirational is, you know, being able to inspire is one of the most important skills a leader can have today. Inspiring others, getting them to move in the same direction, be passionate, follow you. And that means you got to be able to communicate and show where you're going and how we're going to get to those mountain peaks and how we're going to accomplish that. Being authentic means that when you speak, and I'm sure Roz understands this with the journalism background, when you speak, you connect with people and people can feel your passion and they know you're authentic, that what you're saying is in your DNA. And then that third one is being grateful, that no matter where you are in your journey, you can be grateful for where you are and how you got there. And that means being that servant leader, paying it forward, helping others. Because when you elevate others, you help to elevate yourself as well as have a greater impact. So being a GTL is being inspirational, authentic, and having gratitude.
I absolutely love that. Ray, come in and talk with us about sort of how that resonates with you and what you see and do in the world.
So I think, you know, it's all about, Shelley was saying, it's all about authenticity now and really understand that, we are all the leaders that we are looking at and really understand that we have a role to play. We don't need to be, you know, in a position of, you know, like what, just repeating what Shelley was saying, is that, you know, you need to understand that you are on the driving seat and you have the leadership as well, and you can learn. You know, there's always, you know, as a leader, part of being a leader is also having the ability to learn, having the ability to grow, and really, you know, having a purpose and a vision that you work toward. And that's really the important thing, where, you know, we need to educate people to understand what they're really looking for and really align, you know, the leadership and you know, go really deep to get, you know, and their authenticity and the leadership that that's gonna help them to apply and to be where they want to be. So really about, I mean, it's really what, you know, the greatness engineering is all about. It's really, you know, understanding that you have greatness inside of you. You don't need anybody to come and tell you what to do. You have that, and then you just, you know, express yourself and be authentic. And if you don't know, that's okay. You're still a leader. You know, you might not be perfect. You're still a leader. You still can, you know, surround yourself with the right people, because that's what leadership is all about as well. That people who can support you, people who can support your vision, and people who can really, you know, be able to bring you to the next level all the time, make you grow and make you, become the best version of yourself. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, thank you for that, because I agree, you don't need anyone or anything to tell you that you're a leader, right? Mm-hmm. We so often wait for a title to say that we're a leader, but first and foremost, you're always a leader in your own life. So that's number one, right? If you're not leading in your own life, then that is definitely a challenge. So what I love about your GTL, Shelley, is that I see so many leadership competencies sort of built in and baked into that model, right? Like you said, you've got to be able to inspire, communicate, resolve conflicts, right? Show up as a true servant, many things that we need to be able to do. So I think that's definitely good. So Roz, come on in.
You know, I was getting ready to say, as a caregiver, when we walk into the homes, we lead.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to lead the client. We have to make sure they're safe. We have to pay attention to symptoms. We are the leader when we come in here. And so I explained that to my ladies, that, you know, you have to take charge. You know, you are the leader. You are the one that's going to help this person make it through the day. And so if you can't help the person make it through the day, then you can't, then you know, you can't be a caregiver, because you have to be able to persuade, right, encourage, inspire, ignite, empower. You have to be able to do all of that. And again, we're caregivers, but we don't have the title of CEO and president. We're just, you know, we just love what we do. So I want people to understand that even in our jobs, even if we're just employee, we're still leaders. I'm done speaking.
Mm-hmm. So important, Roz. I think that empowering your people to help them understand their role as leaders in the home without the big fancy title, I think is critical. So we're getting ready to our point of wrap up here. So let's do our coffee shot. And then we'll start our wrap-up segment. I can't believe it's 9:56 already. Like, holy cow, where did the time go? So let's go ahead and do our coffee shot. Let me get my
little...
You're
going to do both. Tea.
Oh, you're going to do
both. And Oscar.
Got it. Okay, thank you. That's awesome. And so we're going to do our wrap-up segment. And this segment we like to call... what's in your cup? And the what's in your cup segment is about, this was a great conversation. We've gone many places today. We went wide. We didn't go too deep. But what did we put in your cup as a result of our conversation today? And what are you taking away? So we'll come back and start going through. We'll come to you first, Murray. We'll come to you, Roz. And then we'll wrap up with Shelly. And I've got a final question that I want Shelly to address for folks as she does her wrap up as well. So we will do that right after this. All right. So let's start our what's in your cup. Murray, what did we put in your cup today?
Oh, gosh, there's so much. And it's been a very rich, you know, conversation. But I think the, and it always has been, is don't disqualify yourself. That's the, you know, the most important thing. And especially, you know, when we talk about space, nobody, you know, knows really what it's all about, but we can learn. So we shouldn't disqualify ourselves. We should just, you know, get to know, ask the questions, and really, you know, understand where we can play a role. So that's the first one. The second one is to understand that we are leaders, wherever we are, whatever position we have, understand that we are the leaders that we are looking for. So why are we looking for other leaders? We can take this, the next step, and really lead and really, you know, show the way. That's really my takeaway today.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Murray. Roz, what did we put in your cup?
I like the quote that Shelly did when she first got on about, in order to be a dreamer, you have to dream. Mm-hmm. And so that's sitting with me, and that's what I will take away from this show. I'm done speaking.
Awesome. Thank you, Roz. Shelly, I, first of all, thank you for being here and just sharing your light and wisdom with us today. As we wrap up today, I want you to share how people can connect with you and learn more about the Space Foundation and the work you do in the world. But I also want you to share any last thoughts that you have on navigating fears when you're trying to do big things. Because I do think that that is one of the greatest barriers we face, is getting out of our own heads and out of our own way. So if you could share some of that, as you also share how people can learn more about you.
Wonderful. So let me share what I've learned today first, what's in my cup. And today is really about the importance of diversity. Mm-hmm. And yes, we may think of diversity as, you know, men or women or ethnicities, but really I want to look at the diversity of the screen today. We're from different regions of the world. We have different backgrounds. We have different perspectives, but we all came together and found common ground and mutual respect and admiration for each other. And I think in a world that the global space economy now is, I'll tie it back to space. Space used to just be in two countries 60 years ago. Now it's in more than 90 countries around the world. And we need a diversity of people and a diversity of regions and skill sets and backgrounds. And that means we need to invite everybody to the table. And we need to have empathy and respect. So that's what's in my cup today, because I see empathy and respect right here on the screen looking back at me. It's been such a pleasure joining you ladies and the diversity of our backgrounds, but we found commonality. If people are interested in learning more about Space Foundation, you can go to our website at spacefoundation.org. We're also on all your social media channels, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, as well as myself. You can follow Shelley Brunswick. I'm on all of those too. So I hope you'll follow us. We do put out a lot of great content. I always like, for the audience who's looking for opportunities in the space industry, I always like and repost jobs on LinkedIn. So I do my best to help promote the opportunities that are available. And I know you said one more question you said you had for me. I think, Rhonda, I missed that one.
Yeah, it was navigating the fear that come with pursuing big dreams.
So I'm going to tie it back to leadership. And one of the leadership lessons I have is I call it listen, learn, and lead. And so we can have fear because we may not know everything, but not knowing doesn't disqualify you. Not knowing, you want to be the least smartest person in the room. How you want other people to be the smartest people in the room, and you want to listen to them and you want to learn from them. And then you want to internalize that and then you can lead. And so that's something I want to share with all of you is that we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to know it all, but what we do need is to learn to listen to others because when we listen, then we can learn and then we can be leaders. So I hope that helps address the question.
It does. And I love that listen, learn, and lead on so many different aspects. One of the things about listening is listening with your entire self, right? With your whole body, heart, spirit, mind, completely opening yourself up to the feedback and what's all around you and the signals that you're getting, right? That's a different level of listening. So absolutely love that. Thank you so much, Shelley. I hope people will follow you and connect with you on LinkedIn and other platforms. Andy said, you are an excellent speaker. Thank you so much for that, Andy. Thanks for tuning in. Mom said, in her cup is incorporating space into our everyday activities and products. Absolutely, thank you. And Vandella said, I really enjoyed this. I'm so glad that you found value in this. You know, as I think about my wrap up and I always think about my last drop today is bold vision, innovation, and risk-taking is an essential part of inspirational leadership. We want more. That's why we're in space. That's why there's AI. That's why there's all of these things. People want more. Lead them to it, right? And you do that by leading yourself first, being that role model, being that inspiration, breaking down barriers, breaking down fears. And that's my last drop for today. So it's been an awesome show. I've absolutely loved having everyone and all of the conversations. And then a favor said, you all did justice to today's topic. Thank you. Thank you so much, Favor. I really appreciate that. And Vandella said, we'll follow on LinkedIn. Awesome. Thank you so much for that. And for everybody out there, it's been a pleasure of being here with you. We will be back here next week, next Thursday, same time, same station. So we will see you back here for another episode of the Coffee with Rhonda Show. For my guests and co-hosts, we'll see you in our short debrief in just a minute. And for everyone else, don't forget to share the video. This has been awesome, and someone needs to hear this conversation today. We'll see you back here next week, same time, same station. Bye, everybody.
Bye.